Every single time you have a one-on-one with one of your staff members, or every time you have a team meeting, the questions that you should be asking as the leader are, do you have everything you need to do your job to your satisfaction and to our satisfaction? Are there other ways we can support you? Are there things that just, are there things that aren't working in the way that you would want them to be? And what can we do together to fix that solution, to find a solution for you?
Welcome to the Manage Self, Lead Others Leadership Podcast with Nina Sunday for experienced and aspiring people managers. This show will help you explore ways to become a more intentional leader. Each episode, host Nina Sunday speaks with some of the brightest business minds on the planet who share a passion to elevate and transform team culture. Workplace culture hides in plain sight. Is yours flourishing? Join the movement to make your workplace a better place to work. Are you ready? Because it's time to manage self, lead others.
Author of Fully Connected, How Great Leaders Prioritize Themselves, Reclaim Their Energy and Find Joy, Mel Kettle, with the belief we need to lead ourselves before we can lead others, is committed to self-leadership. This view came after Mel survived a debilitating work-related loneliness, stress, and burnout in her late 20s. With a unique combination of holding a Master of Business, Marketing and a Master of Public Health, Mel Kettle helps leaders and teams achieve real connection and engagement. Host of podcast This Connected Life, welcome Mel Kettle. Let's put one of your skill sets is how to give feedback. And I think that's one of the least understood areas of of managers. So where would you like to start? What advice do you want to give anybody listening about how a good way to give feedback?
I feel like there's a lot of people that talk about how we give feedback, and there's a lot of, I certainly know throughout my corporate career, there were a lot of training sessions on how to give feedback, but there wasn't a lot of learning or training around how do you receive feedback. And I feel that giving feedback is one skill set, but an even more important skill set is how do you receive it? And so how do you take that feedback and do something with it that's going to be of value to you and the organization that's providing it to you, or the relationship of the person that's providing it to you? Because some feedback, you know, it's not all corporate. Sometimes we get feedback from our partners or our children, or, you know, I know my stepson used to frequently say to me, I hate this food. I'm like, well, that's pretty blatant feedback, isn't it? And I had to learn to not take that personally, but it was a part of his learning to exert his independence and his confidence in saying what he doesn't want. And so as we have this conversation, I'm really happy to talk about how do we give feedback and how do we have difficult conversations broadly, and then have, what do you do when you're on the receiving end of that difficult conversation? My question for your listeners is, when you hear the word feedback, what do you think? Do you have a panic attack, or do you think, oh yeah, whatever? Or do you immediately think the words?
We have to talk.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And so your stomach does a flip. You go, what? So
well, you immediately think, what have I done wrong?
Yeah, that's right. Now, should feedback, is there a better word for it? Feedback's all right, isn't it?
I think feedback is one of those words that's a bit polarizing and can cause panic. I don't know a different word. With clients I've worked with around feedback, I've tried really hard to encourage them to create a culture of conversation within their organization so that they never have to use the word feedback.
Yes. Are you open to a couple of suggestions? Maybe that's one way to open it up.
But even if if you have a conversation, if you have regular conversations with your staff, your direct reports, the people who manage you, then you should be, over time, develop a trusting enough relationship that you can have these conversations without them feeling, without anybody feeling uncomfortable or that it's a personal attack on them.
And it's not this every 6 months or annual performance appraisal.
Oh, no, no.
They need to be.
Yeah. And if you've got an issue with somebody, or if you've asked someone to do something and they're not doing it the right way, or there's things that are going wrong, And the right way doesn't necessarily mean your way, just in case you're wondering. It's, you know, the way that's appropriate to get the right outcome. Then tell them at the time that it's happening. I once had a performance review and my boss said to me, I've been really upset with this thing that you did. And I'm like, well, and she mentioned some amorphous thing. And I said, well, when did I do that? And she said, about 5 months ago. I'm like, wait, what? 5 months? I don't even remember. How do you expect me to learn and change my behavior when I can't even remember doing that? And
That's
why didn't you tell me then?
isn't that the biggest mistake where managers
Oh.
save up, like they have this little dossier of all the little things you did wrong and then dump it on you all at once? Feedback should always be in person, shouldn't it? Not over the phone, not on email, not on SMS.
Look, it really depends on where what your circumstances are. How do you give feedback if you've got a staff member in a different city when you can't always do it in person? I
Yes.
think in terms of, the preferences of giving it, then in person obviously is the
Over the
number one
phone
way,
then.
or on a Zoom like we're on now, so that
Yes.
you can see each other, or over the phone. Text message, probably the worst. Actually, no, Instagram DM or Snapchat DM, that'd be the worst way of giving feedback.
Yeah.
But I know some people who've been given feedback. Oh, I know somebody who lost her job by text message.
No, that's not nice.
But if you in verbally is the best way, and then you can follow it up with an email or follow it up in writing. But some government processes, so one of the issues with this bank that I was working with is they had legislated feedback protocols that had to be through a form or in writing. And so we talked about how do we manage that process so that the people receiving it don't just get the big red crosses, but they can have team meetings that say, here are the common areas where we're not getting this right. Here are the areas where we clearly need to be giving you more training and development. Here are the areas where there's a pattern forming that we've got something wrong with our systems and processes. So it's not just the one person who's doing it wrong all the time. The majority of us aren't quite getting it right.
So let's can we pick up a scenario? Maybe there's a behavior that a team member is exhibiting on a regular basis and you want to modify that behavior. Can you think of an example and what might the manager say, having set up a time for a one-on-one conversation?
Oh, so I've got a few clients I'm working with who go into meetings and their manager undermines them in meetings. And
Oh.
so they'll be giving info, they'll be reporting in a meeting, and their manager will interrupt, or somebody else in the meeting. In two particular instances, it's the manager who will interrupt and say, that's not quite right. And
Oh.
so they're undermining the expertise of their staff member. And so the issue that these two clients of mine have got is, how do I have a conversation with my manager who doesn't listen?
Oh, this is giving feedback up.
Yeah. So
Right.
we
So
need to remember that not
what
only
would
do you
the
give feedback down, you give it across and you give it up as well.
Yes. Okay, so what they might invite the manager for a conversation, a private conversation, because you have something that you want us to talk about. What might they say?
Look, it's really important to talk about how you feel as an individual when things aren't going, when you're feeling, undermined or belittled or shamed or any other negative emotion. So it's really, but it's also clear, it's also important to understand or to get a sense of, does the person who's doing that behavior that's causing you to feel less than, is it a deliberate behavior? Or do they not even realize they're doing it? So it's
Well,
like,
we'll
when you
give them the
have.
benefit of the doubt. I imagine usually that's lack of self-awareness. They're just so full
It
of their own ego.
usually is a lack of self-awareness,
Yeah.
or sometimes it's a personality clash between the two people as
Ah,
well.
true. I have heard of the BFIR template, which is behavior, feedback, impact. Oh, no, feel, impact, and results. So, in other words, in this scenario, what I wanted to speak with you about was during that meeting when I was ex giving a report and you said that's not quite right, interrupting me, I actually felt quite embarrassed. I actually felt quite humiliated in front of the group. And what that meant that I felt really like I didn't want to continue giving the report and I really wanted to just, I really just wanted to be swallowed up and disappear. And in the future, do you think you might be able to find a way? Well, actually, at that point, you'd probably wait for their response. And then say, look, in future, if you do want to have a conversation or a disagreement or a debate, do it in a way that doesn't belittle me. How do you feel about that? And I leave it with a question. So, but I don't know, can you improve that method? I mean, it's a bit
No,
like a template.
I think that's a that would work. That's a pretty good method. However, we all know that theory isn't reality. And so if you don't have a trusted relationship with your manager, then that's going to be a really difficult conversation to have. And so how do you do that? And then if you have that conversation, and the same behavior from your manager continues again and again and again, then what do you do?
If it were me, I would quit.
But
But
what if you love your
I'm the
job?
sort of
What if
person
you're
that does that. There are other people that could find a different way.
Yeah, but what if you're highly specialized in your area and there's no other job in Australia, or there's very few other
Well, there
jobs
you
in
go.
Australia that you could do? What do? You've got to just suck it up. So
Then
it's
you
yeah,
find
it's a really
a
challenging
mentor. If it's a
situation.
big organization, you find a mentor elsewhere in the organization where you can have a private conversations with just about what your roadblocks are without it necessarily being that specific one. So, and then you can open up about that one.
And I feel as well that people like this particular manager, and this is an example, obviously, they often exhibit that behavior with other people as well. So perhaps find other people within your organization who've worked with the same person and ask how do they manage their interruptions? How do they approach? What do they do? How do they
And
deal with that?
I think to protect yourself from this concept of you're ganging up or finding people to attack this person, come from a place of curiosity. Like, I'm wondering, how are you dealing with it? Because I'm not dealing with it very well. So it's a cu place of curiosity and s seeking to know, seeking to understand. I think that's
Absolutely.
important, don't you think?
And absolutely. And one of the things I talk a lot about in my feedback framework is you need to understand how to ask the right questions, listen to understand, and observe behaviors so that when you're giving or receiving feedback or other difficult conversations, you can get a sense of is what we're talking about landing? And you can ask questions to make sure that, if you're the one receiving feedback, you can be asking questions to make sure that you know what you need to do next. And if you're giving it, then you can be asking questions to make sure that they understand that it's a learning opportunity and it's not a personal attack.
That's right. And so, can you tell us more about your feedback framework? Before we hear the answer to that question, let me take a moment. Too many books to read, too little time. Under pressure to get through tons of reading that just keeps pouring in. If you ever wanted to unlock the superpower of speed reading, then you might like to find out more about my Speed Reading Academy for my online, on-demand speed reading training. It works like a charm. Imagine how many books you can get through when you double or triple your reading rate without loss of comprehension or enjoyment. Over the last few decades, more than 100,000 managers, professionals, knowledge workers, salespeople, and students from Australia and New Zealand have participated in my speed reading program, either for a private company group or public programs, and now as an online course over 2.5 hours that you can take in the comfort of your home or office. What makes my course different? One, it's tested and proven. In this program, you gain the advantage of my decades of experimentation, creating a better speed reading course that works so you too can become a master. In our live workshops, most everyone increases their current reading rate by 3 to 10 times, but what can you expect in a condensed online course? Mostly people triple their reading rate, some reaching 6 to 10 times, and just about everyone at least doubles. Two, it's step by step. It's easy to complete each module in order with me on video cheering you on as if I'm right there in the room with you. Three, you do the drills in your own reading material. The first module guides you on how to calculate your reading rate. Four, you can complete it in one sitting or spread one module a day over a few days. However, let me say this. Module four is where we do some heavy lifting. With two videos, a little over 30 minutes each, I urge you to set aside a focused 1 hour just for this module. And how about a promo code just for podcast listeners to gain a 50% discount? Write this down. Your promo code for podcast listeners is my name as one word, Nina Sunday. Now go to brainpowertraining.com/go to find out more and get started. And the link is in the show notes. Please, Mel.
Yeah, so I have a 5-step feedback framework. And the first step is you have to learn how to connect. So, and by connect, it's understanding yourself. It's understanding what your feedback stories might be and what your feedback triggers might look like, so that when you have to give other people feedback, you can have a greater empathy or understanding of what might impact other people. The second step is to set the scene. So, and this comes back to what we talked about before, how do you deliver the feedback and where do you deliver it? How are you issuing the invitation for feedback? Is it, I need to talk to you, or we need to discuss something, or we need to have some, I need to give you feedback? Or is it more along the lines of, hey, let's have an update. Can we have an update about this project that you're working on?
Having a kind of a neutral language, because I heard you say need to a couple of times, and that's what people say. I need to speak to you about this, or I need to give you this. Yeah. And it's like it already is inflaming the situation. Yeah.
And it's really important to remember as well that the way that your feedback is received and the way that it's and the way that people respond when you say feedback, all so much of it boils down to how much trust you have with that person. What's the quality of your relationship? So I look at managers that I've had in the past and leaders that I've worked with and staff that I've worked with. And there's some that I can say, hey, can I give you a bit of feedback about this? Mm. And they'd be like, yep, sure, no worries. What can I do better? Or what have I done well? Mm. And they've got there's no sense of judgment. There's others who have said to me, hey, let's just have a chat about this. And I've immediately gone into major panic mode, because I've not trusted them as far as I could kick them. And so the way that successful feedback conversations come from trust, respect, and an understanding of each other's situation and empathy. And so setting the scene, and the more trust you have, the more likely, the more you can go down sort of the ladder of how you have the conversation. So if there's no trust, then the more you can do this conversation in person, either over a Zoom or in the same room, the better off you'll be. But if you've got huge amounts of trust, then you are much more likely to be able to just put your feedback in an email to somebody or in a text message even, because you know that the way that it will be received. And you also know that if they misinterpret something, because it's hard to interpret tone through writing, then they're much more likely to pick up the phone and say, hey, can we just have a quick chat about this? And make sure we're on the same page. And then the third step is focusing on the facts. Feedback is not an opinion. Feedback should be fact-based. So be really clear about the language that you use and be really clear about using specific examples. And also be really clear that your intent is to help someone take action so they can grow and develop.
So more about your framework.
Yeah, it can. So step four is ask, listen, and observe.
Yeah.
Make sure that you ask that you know that the other person thinks of the thing that you're giving feedback about. Listen to understand and observe their behaviors, and also observe what isn't being said. So make sure that they understand, or if you're the person receiving feedback, make sure that you understand what it is that the feedback is about. What does it mean, and what are those opportunities that need to come out of that? And then the fifth step is set future goals. So what are the steps that you're both going to take to ensure there's improvement, commitment, growth, and development? And if it's, if it's in a personal relationship, or if it's in a business relationship or a project team or something else, what are you meant to be doing with that feedback? And so questions that you can ask then, if you're the one receiving feedback, you can be asking, what support will I be getting? to do this better? How can you help me? How can you guide me? And if you're the person who's giving the feedback, you can be asking questions around, what is it that you need from us to do this better? How can we support you to do a better job with this? And are there things that you need from us? How can we be here together? Because we all want the same positive outcome. So what is it that I can do? And sometimes, with some examples that I've seen, sometimes you just might need a bit more time together to, make sure that you're on the right track. Or sometimes, feedback can come in all different shapes and forms. And so it's identifying what that looks like so that you can both work together to get that outcome that you're needing.
Yes, absolutely. And you've read Brené Brown, and she talks about clear is kind and unclear is unkind. So, do some managers try to give feedback, but they don't really tell the truth? They're sort of afraid to give what they really think, and so the person receiving getting feedback isn't really getting the message.
I worked with a guy who, not for, fortunately, I didn't work directly with him, but he was the head of the organization and he hated bad news. And so all of the reports that he was given about the state of the organization and where things were at were all sanitized so that the worst news was left out because
That's
people were
dangerous.
fearful of his response. And so so that meant that he didn't have a clear understanding of how bad things were in certain parts of the organization and how much money was being lost. Because any good marketing person can manipulate numbers to make them look like whatever you want them to look like. So it was really problematic. And so yeah, there's definitely times where true feedback isn't given because of fear. And again, it comes back to lack of trust.
It also comes back to lack of self-awareness because that manager is not noticing the pattern in their own behavior and they're not modifying their own behavior. So it's that whole thing of emotional intelligence, one of the big qualities is
Absolutely.
self-awareness. Look,
And he's probably not noticing it because he's surrounded himself with yes men and women who are too scared to say no and say yes to everything. And that can be where having an external coach is so valuable because you don't pay them to agree with you.
Now, sometimes when I'm working with managers, emerging managers, they'll say, "Look, when is the right time to acknowledge that no amount of coaching is going to change this person's behavior?" And I'm just wondering your thoughts around that because I think it says something about the person asking the question, not as much as the person they're coaching.
Yeah, it does. And that it comes back also to what's your recruitment process look like? And if you're, I have a friend who was recruited for this job and she packed up her life to move and move cities to take this job. She had 2 days of psychometric testing and she has a very big, she has a very big personality. She is very forthright. She is not at all afraid to say what she thinks is right or wrong. And that would have all come through on this psychometric testing. 6 months into this job, her boss said to her, "I feel like you're not a good fit for the organization for these reasons." And they'd had a few different conversations about this, and my friend knew that she wasn't a good fit as well. But she'd backpacked up her life for this job. And so she said to him, "Yeah, I know." And he said, "I think you're just too much on this and this and this." And she said to him, "But I did 2 days of psychometric testing. Surely that came through. Like, surely you saw that." And he said, "Yes, we did, but we thought it was wrong because we've never seen anybody chart that high before in these qualities." And
That's
she looked at him and
hilarious.
went, "That's not my problem if you didn't believe my results." And so they agreed that she would leave, and she got a very good deal to leave.
So it became worth her while to unpack her or pack up her life again
Oh.
and move on.
But it was just like, seriously, people, psychometric testing does not lie. Most people are not good enough to get it to give you the wrong answer.
So we talk about managers having a coaching conversation as a regular thing. And do you think some managers are being too nice and not really saying you need to change or else? we'll have to give you, I mean, would do you say that? Or we
But
have
why
to give
should
you a
they have
warning?
to, but why should people have to change? So again, this comes back down to how do you hire in your organization? Are you hiring for skill set? Are you hiring for values? Are you hiring for fit? Or are you hiring for a blend? And if you want people's behaviors to change, then that indicates to me that there's a misalignment of values within the organization. And so how did you not work that out sooner? Now, there's definitely people who, and if it's a skill thing, then if this problem is around skills, then you need to look at what can we do to support you to level up those skills. The other question you need to ask is, does the person want to change? Do they want to grow? Do they want to stay in this organization or do they not? And I have another client at the moment who was talking to me about one of her staff, and that's the exact question they've had. She's not changing her behaviors. She's not improving. She's not doing the things that she's being coached to. And the issue isn't that she doesn't know how to change. It's that she doesn't want to. And I think that that's a really key distinction. If you've got somebody who's really willing to do the hard work, to learn, to grow, to move in the direction that the organization needs them to, it's a whole different level of investment in that person to somebody who's just there going, no, I just want my paycheck. I'm not doing anything differently.
It's the difference between what Liz Wiseman in her book calls typical contributors versus impact players. And
absolutely.
If you want to coach somebody to be an impact player, to be anticipate needs, to not say that's not my job. If you've got a typical contributor that has an avoidance mindset, well, does it get to the point where you have to give them a warning that their job is on the line because it's unsatisfactory? They're not ability to change or grow?
Most organizations would have performance management processes in place. And so maybe that's the time where you need to put that into practice.
And it's, that's
you know,
when you
give
talk
them
to
that.
The...
And where you start that process of performance managing someone, I was had a conversation with a friend the other day who said, I've got two staff and neither of them are doing brilliantly. One of them's getting it a lot more than the other, but the other one I need to start performance managing. They've only been in it with our organization for 4 months. And I said, are they under probation still? And she said, yeah, they are. And that's why I'm starting the performance management process this week so that we can make a decision together as to whether this is the right fit for them before their probation period comes to an end.
Now, Mel, we're in Australia and this podcast goes all around the world. And would it be true for me to say that performance management is a euphemism that we call in Australia where you're actually coaching someone with a view to possibly letting them go, firing
them?
Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So different countries might call it different things.
Yeah.
But in Australia, it's called performance managing. And it's unsatisfactory performance. That means that they're in danger of losing their job. And there are legal steps you have to follow. So other countries maybe don't have the same requirements. What's your awareness of the global situation around letting someone go, firing someone if they're unsatisfactory?
Oh, I have no idea. I've got no idea.
You're an Australian expert. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not even an Australian expert. That's an HR/IR issue, and I work in communication.
Right.
So my understanding of the rules and regulations and what you need to do if you've got someone who you want to get rid of, I'm not the person you would come to for that.
Yeah.
I would be the person that you would come to if you needed to issue some statements to staff to make sure that the dismissal of that person didn't rock the boat too much internally.
Right.
I would help you phrase how you keep that on an even keel.
Talk about in one-on-ones questions you might ask, and that you give us four questions. One was, where do we need to focus?
Mm.
I'll just read them out. What is a priority for you or for both of you? What steps should we take to make sure we improve? And what do you personally need? So anything you want to add to that?
Oh, look, I think they're questions that don't get asked enough. And I feel that every single time you have a one-on-one with one of your staff members or every time you have a team meeting, the questions that you should be asking as the leader are, do you have everything you need to do your job to your satisfaction and to our satisfaction? Are there other ways we can support you? Are there things that just are there things that aren't working in the way that you would want them to be? And what can we do together to fix that solution, to find a solution for you? People have a lot of stuff going on in their personal lives as well. And I certainly have noticed that my clients that have got the best working relationships with their teams are those who are open and honest about some of the challenges that they have in their personal lives at the moment. And it's not a warts and all, explanation, but they're talking about the high level big issues that they're dealing with at home. It might be they've got a sick kid. It might be that they're dealing with they're supporting aging parents. It might be that they're going through a relationship breakdown that's going through the legal system.
Well said, Mel. And so how can people find you? Do you work with people all over Australia? Do you can you
I run a program called Connected Leaders, which is an in-house program. It runs over 12 weeks and it's for leaders or groups of leaders. So it's either team leadership teams or groups of leaders in an organization that want to be better and that want to have deeper connections, that want to strengthen their communication, and that want to lead cultures of belonging. And then I run an online version of that for individuals called Thriving Leaders.
And I think your website is melkettle.com, is that right?
Yes, it is.
That's so
Yes, it is.
easy to find, easy to remember, and it'll also be in the show notes. And we've got a gift of a chapter of from Mel's book, Fully
Fully
Connected, which
connected.
which is
Yeah.
available on Amazon. And look, thank you so much for your time and your expertise today, Mel. It's been a fascinating conversation, and I feel confident your leaders. The leaders listening will be very interested to take adva take take wisdom from your advice. So thank you.
Thanks so much for having me on, Nina. It's been great to talk to you today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Nina Sunday is on a mission to help leaders transform culture. To book Nina Sunday CSP to speak at your conference, visit ninasunday.com to request a proposal. Nina travels from Brisbane, Australia for in-person presentations Australia-wide. Twice certified virtual presenter, Nina Sunday presents virtually, globally, for any time zone.
This episode, we were speaking with Mel Kettle, author of Fully Connected, podcast host of This Connected Life, and with a Master's of Business and a Master of Public Health. And you can find Mel Kettle at melkettle.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.